May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, I never want to be in a situation where I have some preacher or teacher beating me up with condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And God doesn't need to manipulate people to get them to do right. He's not that petty. But what he does is he draws us, he lures us into not settling for less than all that he wants us to experience and all that he wants us to manifest. So I don't mind a hard word. There's a difference between a hard word and a condemning word. I don't mind a hard word that challenges me to not settle. Because it's easy sometimes for us just to settle. And instead of keeping going forward, there are things we have to lay down if we're going to go forward. There are things we have to... the word repent really just means to turn, change your mind. And there's been a lot of things about my walk with the Lord I've changed my mind about. And so it's important that we're not stubborn. So I love scriptures like this one, which I wasn't going to teach on, but again, there's something about Bracken when he reads scripture that I'm grateful for because, again, Donna used this word, true north. This is one of those true north words to me that helps jerk me back to where I'm headed, what I'm going after. Christlikeness isn't just about character. It's also about ministry. It's also about the impact he had on people. Jesus didn't just sit around and hum and be holy. He also impacted people's lives in supernatural ways that changed them forever. They had encounters with God by being set free from the works of the enemy. So Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. What about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed by the devil? So when I read a passage and I hear that story told, my theology or my pastoral experience would normally be if I'm discipling someone and they go and try to help somebody like this boy who was severely demonized and they can't, then I would want to comfort them because I would just be really proud of them for going for it, right? And then my answer would be, but you just have to understand, God is sovereign, and he's really good, and just sometimes it doesn't happen, and you went for it, and that's great, and so I'm just proud of you boys. But Jesus said to these disciples, in John 13, it says about him, he loved them to the uttermost. So these are people he fiercely loved. He said, oh, you perverse and unbelieving generation. And then he healed the guy. He healed the boy. Which says it was his will for that boy to be healed. And he was trying to teach these disciples because he was always trying to teach them. He was always calling them forth to be all that God had called them to be. And instead of comforting them, he demonstrated to them what was normal in the kingdom of heaven. Because that's what Jesus was doing. He would preach the reign of God. And then he would demonstrate what the reign of God looks like when it's imposed over the reign of the enemy, the evil one. And so this word challenges me, but it also like wires me up. Like, okay, good. I'm glad that I don't have to settle for this and just sort of build a little spiritual world around a place where I'm comfortable. The Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit is often used, he's called the helper, the paraclete, which means comforter. But it's amazing how somebody whose name is comfortable makes you so uncomfortable. That's part of his ministry, is to make us uncomfortable so that we don't settle. And so Jesus was telling them, you missed it. Now, did he give up on them? Did he just pound them continually? No. But he wanted them to understand something. That it was his will for this boy to get healed, and they could have participated in that. And they asked the question, They said, well, Lord, why couldn't we have success? And in one of the Gospels, it tells the same story. He just says, because of the littleness of your faith. But he's not asking for much faith, because he said, if you just had the faith the size of a mustard seed, that's not very big. Because faith is actually just about trusting in his faithfulness. But then he says in that Gospel reading that Bracken read, he said, but this kind, this things that are this hard only come out by prayer and fasting. And we've talked about this before. Jesus wasn't saying, if you see a little boy who's demon possessed and it's so bad that the demons cast him into a fire, you should just go off and fast for a few days and leave him in that condition and then come back when you're spiritually ready. That's why in the original language, the word fasting isn't there. Shouldn't be there. Jesus was saying a lifestyle of faith flows out of a lifestyle of intimacy in prayer. Because you see, it's in the presence of the Lord in prayer. Prayer isn't first and foremost about just running into God's presence, throwing up everything we want him to do for us, and then going, okay, thanks, we got that off our chest, as if God didn't know those were things you needed. But it's about relationship first and foremost. And we recalibrate. We're brought back into what's normal. We see things from his perspective. We're reminded again what's heaven's point of view about everything. And it's from that place of intimacy that we then carry into situations. And we're called to project heaven's mindset into situations and circumstances as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But I'm grateful for this story because this is the apostles. You know what I'm saying? These were the, like if there was a conference, and Christians love to go to conferences, so which is fun, but if there was a conference and the list were like John and Peter and James and Matthew, people would pretty much sign up for that. But these guys had to learn. And if they had to learn, it's okay if I have to learn too. Sometimes I may need to hear a loving, hard word from the Lord, says Chuck. There's more to experience. There's more to manifest. It's your own personal walk that suffers if you don't go after that, but it's also the impact you can have in the lives of others that suffers if you don't go after that. And so I'm grateful when we see people get healed. And we do see people get healed. But when I go to places like we've gone to Africa, and we see a gazillion people get healed percentage-wise, then I'm grateful for that because God uses that as a challenge to me. Or when we go to Brazil or any other place we see, because in the West it's hardest, because everybody's got backup plans to God. And so I'm grateful when I see that and I go, this is normal. At home's not normal. And going after normal is not a bad thing. Settling for abnormal is not a good thing. And therefore, I want to be that one that prays for people. I don't want to see anybody settling for something in their life, having to settle because I did. What Jesus displays is normal. His life was perfect theology lived out. Everything he did demonstrated the perfect will of God. And he was calling the boys to walk that out too. And I believe that they didn't walk away going, oh man, he really kicked our rear end. I think they walked away going, wow, okay, I'm going after the next kid like that because I want to see that happen when I pray for him. Amen? Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.